asked you who you are, what would you tell me? Many times in life, the difference between being able to tap into the power of your instinct and draw the genius within you and your inability to unearth the magnificence contained within you lies in the fact that you do not know who you are. This is the You Soul for Genius podcast. Today, my guest on the show will uncover how you can identify your magnificence just by knowing who you are. Stay tuned.
You're listening to You Soulful Genius Podcast, a show about highlighting the genius within every one of us through acts of creating a world of balance, truth, and conscience. This is Mutiat Adeboale, your host.
Hello, welcome to the You Soulful Genius Podcast. On this episode of the podcast, I'm going to be speaking to Catherine Fox. Catherine is a certified life and leadership coach, a transpersonal psychologist, a university lecturer, and skilled facilitator for personal and collective transformation with more than 12 years of international working experience. Catherine works with the sacred feminine leaders. We are going to be excited with what this is going to come about today. And visionaries of our time that want to take their life, love, and leadership both deeper and higher. Catherine is the founder of the Women Rising, a soulful coaching practice that is dedicated to women rise by deepening into who they truly are. So today, get ready to know who you are, because we've been talking a lot about that. Welcome to the show, Catherine. I'm really honored and privileged to have you here.
Thank you, Mutia. Thank you for inviting me. Such an honor. Thank you.
Lovely, beautiful. So yeah, let's get it on. I know I did a bit of, you know, introduction about you, but I would like you to actually tell the listeners who you are, what you do, and the magic you bring into the world.
Thank you. Yeah, so who I am, I think I am an unfolding mystery. I'm still finding out every single day who I am. But what I'm really passionate about is helping other women to really reconnect and remember who they are at their core. And to really deepen into that beneath all the conditioning that we have received from childhood, from cultures, from religion, and to really live from that place, from their innermost center instead of the periphery, and build a life, a business that really feels true to who they are at their core.
Okay, that is so beautiful. You know, I know you're so passionate about helping women become the true, you know, person that they are, to really dig deep. But there's something really fascinating. I would like us to talk about it before, you know, we lose the time. So it's something to do with your research into the dark feminine. That is, you know, something I just want to unravel, and I want to read about it every time. What is that? What is the dark feminine? What makes that feminine dark? Please, can you shed some light on that, please? And the research you did,
So maybe I start with what really inspired me to do this research, because I've come from the field of leadership development. I've been working in the field of leadership development for many, many years. I have worked a lot with female executives. And what I found is that many women, in order to be tough, they draw on their inner masculine. Yeah. And it often comes with the cost that they give up their feminine wholeness. And so I got really interested, because I thought, you know, I believe that we have a very one-dimensional understanding of what the feminine really is. We have this idea that it's all about being passive, receiving, loving, kind. And I just felt that is not all, you know, it's just not complete. And I got really interested in these parts of our feminine wholeness for which women have been banned, shamed, killed for many centuries. At some places, they still are. So all these bits and pieces of our beingness, of our being a woman, that we have been judged for. And these are often associated with the dark feminine. And obviously this word dark in itself is already a judgment, because very often that's kind of associated with something negative. And we see that I even believe it's racist, you know, to have that term, because it kind of carries this connotation that there's a light feminine and there's a dark feminine. I don't believe that even. So I got really interested, what are these parts of this femininity that we have learned to suppress within ourselves? So what are they really about? And then also, what does it take to reclaim these parts within ourselves and to live them so that we kind of come from a greater place of wholeness within ourselves? Does this answer your question for the beginning?
Yes, that is really great. That is really great. So when women are, you know, digging deep to be who they are, what are the things they need to do to be like, to really authentically open up and be themselves and find themselves, really? What should we be doing?
Well, it's such a good question, because we sometimes think it's all about, you know, our mindset, or it's all about, you know, learning new skills, but it's really not about that. What I find is that it's really about unlearning or letting go what we have taken on very often very early in our lives. Because what I found in my research is that the individuation process or self-actualization process of women is really a process or a journey that leads us inwards and downwards. Like many of us know the hero's myth, right? And the hero's myth is this journey where we are being called to go out into the world and find, you know, battle the demon outside somewhere in the world, and then we return with more wisdom and truth. But the hero's myth is, when we look at it, it's not really appropriate for the journey that women undergo. Women go inwards and downwards. They have to really go from their, very often the journey looks like that we go from the heart. We start in our heart. Like as children, we are often very much connected to ourselves. But then as we grow up and as we enter adolescence and puberty, we learn how to suppress these parts of ourselves that feel often very innate or have felt very innate. And we kind of enter the stage of being a good girl. Right? We want to be a good girl in order to belong, which is a totally natural process. And some of us, they, you know, don't move into the good girl so much, but go rather into the bad girl, I would say. But it's what I found is it's really the bad girl is just another form of the good girl. It's just the good girl in disguise, because it's still very externally referenced. So we are all about, you know, how are we being perceived? And so as we grow up, we lose ourselves very often more and more. And the process to come back to ourselves is really, first of all, an awareness process that this has actually happened, you know, that we are not in touch with ourselves anymore. Very often the, you know, many women, when they are very stuck in this good girl archetype, they are often feeling very disconnected from their truth, from their bodies, from their sexuality, from their rage, from their intuition even. And the process is really about, it often starts with reconnecting with our bodies. It often starts with reconnecting with our sexuality. And then something very interesting is that for many women, it also involves some sort of a descent into the underworld. What I mean by that is that women have often a moment of profound crisis that shatters their world. It can be a divorce, it can be a illness, it can be a profound loss of a child or of someone loved. And that's often the moment where they have to really let go of who they thought they are in order to become who they truly are. You know, it's a place that, you know, many people would call depression. Depression is part of it, but it's where all this pieces that are not real have to shatter, have to break. It's a very tough process. It's not, you know, it's not a yoga retreat up in a mountain, you know, that's cozy and lovely. It's something very profound. It's something very painful very often. And And it can be a very lonely process because it's really what I call the encounter with the dark goddess within. It's where everything breaks away and you're basically left with you. You have to stand, you know, you have to stand naked in front of yourself for the first time. And that is really the moment where the transformation really begins. This is the moment where we start to really become open again, to really reconnect with who we are. And then it often involves a longer process of healing, of overcoming our fears of not belonging, also our collective fears of being publicly shamed, of overcoming what other people think of us, and really standing in our truth. So that we really, and when we do that, we come to a place within ourselves, and very often, like on a physical level, it's really, it's also downwards because we start to anchor more in our wombs. So we reconnect with our womb space. And this is really where our creation power lies, right? And yeah, this is also where we take back these parts that I in my research that showed up as the so-called dark feminine. But the dark feminine, to be very open, is not dark at all. This is what I have found in my research. It's, you know, it has nothing to do with being dark. It's way more about being free. It's about being untamed. It's being instinctual, being reconnected to this instinctual part of ourselves. And there are four archetypes that showed up in all the interviews that I have led or conducted for this research. And these are, there's this Hecate aspect, as I call it. The Hecate aspect is this the seer, right? The seer aspect, or you can also call her the witch, but she is the one that is really connected to her intuition. She is really the one that can see beyond the veils, that can see the unseen, and is really connected to an inner knowing that is beyond time and space. That's one archetype. And one expression of the dark feminine. The other is the so-called Kali aspect. Kali is probably known to many of your listeners. The Kali is this very Indian fierce feminine goddess that slayed the demons. And the Kali aspect within ourselves shows up as a clear capacity to set clear boundaries, to stand in your truth, to fight for your truth, to fight for what is also just and right in this world. It's also not just about ourselves, it's for the earth. It's, you know, it's the activist within ourselves. It's also the one that ends relationships if they don't feel true anymore, you know, that kind of cuts the cords in order to move. I get goosebumps while I'm saying that. The third aspect is the Lilith aspect. The Lilith aspect is really the fully embodied woman, the sexual priestess within ourselves. And it's not, you know, many people think that the wild woman is like, it's all about free sexuality, but it's not. You know, it's way more about being fully embodied, being in touch with our own sensuality, with our own sexuality, being knowing how to live that part in ourselves from a place of sovereignty and not in order to please. And it's about a fully embodied experience. And the fourth aspect that showed up is the priestess. It's the priestess and the healer. It's the Isis aspect, as I called it. And it's this woman that, and that actually relates to the sacred feminine leaders, that is really connected to something higher, that bows down to something higher than herself, and that is standing in service for something greater. And she's also the one creating ceremonies and rituals and, you know, finds her own expression of spirituality, not necessarily, you know, in in the constructs of a institution, but her own way of worshiping and expressing the divine through herself in the world.
That is, wow, that's a really deep one, you know, that's a really deep one. There's so many things we may be cutting into here. But yeah, before I go into the archetypes of, you know, the four types of feminine, one thing you mentioned that resonates is the fact that women have been, you know, tamed, molded to live to the expectations of the community, of the society, and that is taking the power, the feminine power, away from them. Okay.
Yes.
Which is why, you, as you said, some women cannot show up authentically or, you know, dig deep to discover themselves. So what are they, you know, what can we do so that more women know that when they live according to their expectations, they are living beyond, you know, what is expected of them. They are living beyond the greatness that is expected of them. So how can we do that empowering? What can you do? What can you say to empower more women to be able to live, you know, outside of that expectations and cut quite wider so that they can fully actualize the potential and just be the, you know, the woman they need to be?
Yeah, it really starts with also respecting women who are doing that. Because even if, you know, because what I found, and it's also, I know it out of my own experience as well, that as a woman, when you decide to stand in your truth, to live your truth, and to go for your truth, there is still a lot of backlash. There is still, you know, even today in our, you know, very modern world, so to say, and that seems as if, you know, women are so free to be themselves, there is still a lot of social pressure for women to kind of keep quiet and to be small. And interestingly, and that's something that has also my research revealed, it's very often not the men that are putting women down or that are responding with violence or shaming, but other women. So women seem to really, it's probably related to the sister wound. We have learned to be in competition with each other. We have kind of not really learned to cheer each other on and to really kind of celebrate each other's beauty and greatness, right? And it's really something that we need to relearn and to really, if I see a woman that stands in her power, celebrate it, you know, even if it triggers you, because if you are not there yet, then it will be painful to see her shining her light. But as we start to respect it in other women, we can see that each woman is not a, you know, that does that is not necessarily a trigger, but an activation. It's an invitation for you to rise. It's an invitation. She prepares the path for you. And so you can follow and we can hold each other's hands and really rise together, because it's really about collectively stepping up as women. And so what we can do is supporting each other in that, listening to each other's stories, because it's so important to empathize with each other, to hear, also to see that actually so many of us have similar experiences. Like I've worked a lot with women, and for example, just one example, what I find a lot in working with my clients is that almost every woman has a story of sexual abuse or sexual harassment in her background, you know, like, or has a story of, of like being shamed or being publicly denounced for, you know, for showing herself. So there is this part where we really need to learn to hold space for each other, to celebrate each other, to support each other. And I believe that's where it starts. Yeah.
That's a great one. That is a really great one. You know, I mean, you talked about how it should be an activation for any woman. If you see another woman, I mean, more interesting that it's not even, you know, the opposite gender. It's not even men who are really shaming and putting women down, but women are putting themselves down. Women are celebrating one another. They are the ones who are stopping other women from showing in their true lights. And it should be an activation. You know, it should be an invitation for you when you see a woman who is rising, for you to celebrate that woman and hold ourselves together. And one thing that I think came to me is, when we take away this sense of competition, it helps both sides. So if you do see somebody who's rising, you celebrate them. And if you're rising and see other women who want to be like you, you also show that support. And we then yes. bring ourselves together, you know, and climb higher together. So it's on yes. all sides when women from different sides begin to support one another. And I think it's just from this mindset of it's not enough, as in scarcity, yeah. you know, but when we know that the skies enough for everybody, all the birds to fly, there's just enough of abundance for everyone, yes. perhaps, you know, we'll be able to hold one's hands and know that no one is stopping the other person, because somebody else's greatness cannot debar you from becoming great. I think that's yeah. just what we should continue to put on. Thank you so much for that. That is a very great one. So what I want to ask you is, you know, you talked about the four archetypes of women, and mm-hmm. one of them is, you know, the feminine one, the one, there's another one that sets the boundaries, that stands in their truth. There's another one that, you know, the sacred ones, that is here for service and, you know, knows about the higher power and, you know, just worship and, you know, just cleanse themselves through. So all these four archetypes, couldn't a woman embody all four types of, you know, femininity?
Yes, absolutely. And I believe they are all within us. It's not for a few chosen ones, right? They like, and you will find, if you think of yourself as a child, for example, you will find that all of these four archetypes were present. Because no matter what woman I asked, they said, yeah, I was really connected to my like body and sexuality when I was a child. You know, I felt like completely natural with it. Or the women said like, yeah, I felt really, it was so normal to see the invisible world, right? It was just natural. Or, you know, like, just think of yourself and how have I been as a child? You know, were these, you know, like, how was it, how easy was it for me to say no, for example, as a child, you know, until I was maybe taught that this is not okay. And I learned to keep quiet instead and to please. Yeah. So it's all there. It's already there, even now, when you think they are not, you know, even if you're on the other end of the spectrum and you feel like, oh my God, I'm so far off, you know, what they are talking about. I can assure you, these archetypes are living within you. And it's really about calling them forth again. And it starts with really kind of putting your attention to these places within yourself. Where is your rage, for example? You know, where is it? You know, where do you feel it in your body? Can you feel it at all? And if not, then accept that as well. Like, accept where you are, start where you are, acknowledge where you are, and take it step by step. Yeah. And for example, with our intuition, we all have it. It's not, again, it's not for the chosen ones. It's like, start to just check in with yourself again and ask yourself, you know, how does yes feel in my body? How does no feel in my body? And just listen to yourself. Your body will tell you, because our intuition is a very embodied felt sense very often. Yeah. And so start there. And, you know, you can start, for example, by thinking of things that you know for sure, you know, that is, that are a clear yes, and just attune to your whole system, your body, you know, your emotions, and just ask yourself, how does this yes feel within myself? And then you do the same for the no, and then you can check in as you go through your day, you know, is this a yes or is this a no? How does no feel? How does yes feel? It's just a little thing that you can start to practice to reconnect with your intuition and instinct again.
This is really wonderful. So now, are being powerful, okay, usually it may have been buried within us because, you know, all of the things that the society, you know, have put onto us and that we've learned and we're trying to unlearn. Because how can a woman begin to unearth all this power that's within them? You know, a lot of people, you know, speak to people who are just stuck, who just don't believe that they have greatness in them, perhaps because people have said things to them, people have made them feel little, people have made them feel so powerless and, you know, so clueless, they can't even help themselves. How do we begin to bring this power out again? What can we do?
Yeah, I really believe that one way is also to get yourself support in this process, because like having a mentor, having a coach, having even a really good friend that really sees you by your side, you know, can help you to see yourself more clearly. Because sometimes we need an external mirror to see ourselves in this external mirror more clearly and to find the courage, you know, to reconnect with that part. Because of course, you know, if you have experienced a lot of bad things for being who you are, then there's a lot of fear. And, you know, and this fear has its, so to say, has its right to be there. Yeah. So it's not about, you know, trying to push this fear away, or, you know, it's embracing this fear, first of all, and then really getting yourself support. And if you're feeling, you know, you're completely stuck in a situation where there's no one, you look around and you don't see anyone that could, you know, that sees you and could help you with the situation, and get yourself some professional external help, you know, and take it step by step. It's a process, not happening overnight, but it is possible. And I've seen it over and over again. There is a process for all of us. And sometimes the road is very long, but it starts with the first step.
That is so beautiful. I can resonate with the fact that almost every woman has their story of how they've either been shamed or put down, or, you know, how the society turns against them. And which is why what you've said is very important. Either get somebody who will be able to help you uncover all of those, you know, hidden gems that you've put in and you're not able to bring out within yourself. Mm-hmm. Because as you said, we cannot see our blind spot. What I always say is, for example, you know, you are walking on a street, somebody coming right over to you will see you from top to down, see your blind spot, see where you cannot see than yourself. So which is why it's good for us to get somebody who can be really helpful. Either you're getting a professional coach, or, you know, a very truthful, honest friend, you know, accountability person who's going to help you bring out the best in you. I think it's something that we all need as individuals, and as we collectively mm-hmm. try to grow and become the best of all we are, we definitely need somebody by our side to help us, you know, be the best of ourselves, you know, that sort of.
And you know, and you know, Mochet, it's also what I also want to say to all these women out there that are listening. Also start by believing that it is possible. Believe that it is possible. Believe that there is another life waiting for you, that there is another version of you already, you know, waiting for you to be expressed. You know, it's already within you. Start believing, you know, that it is possible, and everything else will follow from there. Because what I have found, you know, in my life, and in many, I've observed it in many of my clients' life, it's a bit like you go first and the universe follows. You know, it's as if you go the first step and then something greater is coming towards you to catch you. But you need to do this first step. You cannot wait for someone else to pull you out of that misery. You need to take this first step. And it can be a tiny step, you know, but start with believing and then go this first tiny step that you can do today, a baby step. Baby step in that direction that you want to go in.
That is a great
everything one. Else follows.
That is a very good one. It reminds me every time when I talk about, you know, how I started my business and people around me didn't understand what I was doing. And they just couldn't be bothered because they didn't understand it. And, you know, learning from that forward, you know, as I learned and as I grew my business, I understood that it was the steps that I continued to take and show up to say, I am interested. I really mean what I'm doing. Then now they are coming after me to say, oh, how did you do that? Because they've seen that I am unstoppable. I'm not stopping. Even when I've fallen and I have failed, I am dusting myself up and I am not stopping. That sort of thing. So people shouldn't wait for other people to open the door for them. Just keep that door open by yourself with the little strength that you have, and you just don't know what's on the other side. Just keep going, keep doing it.
Yeah.
Another great thing you talked about was, you know, how our challenges make us come out, be the best of us. Remember you talked about how the pain, you know, different types of pain that will come to that are happening anyway to people. It could be a divorce. It could be, you know, the loss of a child. It could be some accident of some sort. It could be harassment. It could be some trauma, whatever, how those sort of things challenge us and change us and make us be better. Well, we should, rather than us using those sort of things to just die down or kill the dreams that we have. Okay, so do you want to shed some light on how we can use, you know, negatives, challenges to become the better part of ourselves?
Yeah, I think, again, it starts with what meaning do I assign to them? You know, and that's where our power lies, because we can choose our interpretation. You know, I can choose what meaning I assign to a certain event in my life. Either it's the worst thing that happens to me, or it's a chance for growth. You know, whether you see it like that or like that is all up to you. So if you start to see it as a chance for growth, you will see the opportunity to grow. And you will start to grow automatically, because the reality, you know, the energy follows our intention and our attention. So it's like, if I put my focus on this is the worst thing that happened to me, then yes, you will see a lot of things, you know, that are really difficult, you know, that are coming with that situation. But so choose your interpretations wisely. Choose your interpretations wisely and the meaning that you assign to things. That's the first thing. The second thing is, I personally, and I think so do you, believe that these challenges in life are gifts. And they are, even if they are very painful, if I look back in my life, and even right now, I'm personally difficult situation right now, I see how when I'm really true to myself, even if it's super, super difficult, and even if, you know, I have to disappoint people in order to be true to myself, that every single time I do this, something inside of me kind of falls into its place. Something inside of me relaxes. Something inside of me is like coming more into alignment with who I truly am. That's why I say it's an unfolding. This process never stops, right? There's always a little more that I can be in more congruency with who I truly am. But and sometimes it's oscillating. It's not always, you know, it's not always easy. But nevertheless, it's like these difficult times where we really get the chance to see what we are made of. And it's really the time where it's a bit probably because our ego, you know, leaves the room. And for the first time, we kind of really feel what is beneath it, you know, because if our ego is shattered, you know, then what remains is your essence.
That is so powerful. Wow. I'm sure a lot of people are getting this in. Yes, those moments when our ego are just let loose, they're just gone. Yes, so much they're not in control anymore. Then you see the truth behind who you truly are, and you can make the best use of that situation. That is you being whole. That is you being just naturally, you know, naked. That is you at your peak of naturality and humanness. And yeah, we can take the best of you know, the actions that we need to take to come back into ourselves and just explore our power at those points. All of these things you've said are so deep and are so wonderful. And yeah, I just want everybody to take the best of what you've said and see how they can, you know, imbibe that into their everyday and just be the best of you you can, because you've got so much power. If you lean inwards and see the truth within you, the light within you, we will, you know, find out how great we are and be the best of ourselves. So I want to ask you, how do people connect with you? Some people will be asking questions. How can I connect with that? How can I get to know her? You know, that sort of thing. How can that happen?
Yeah. So there are different ways. So I have an Instagram account. I'm super happy if you join the community and follow along. The Instagram account you find under womenrising_CO. I'm sure you will share the links anyway. And then there is my website, which is www.womenrising.co.
All that will be in the show.
Yes, notes. Yes. And you can send me a private message on Instagram. You can drop me an email. You can also find me on Facebook under my name, Catherine Fox. Yeah, so I'm available. I'm around. You can find me. And yeah, I would love to connect with some of your listeners for sure.
Lovely. That would be so beautiful. So before we end the show, what's your last word, you know, for anybody struggling right now, trying to navigate life? What would you say they should do right now?
Just trust that life is always better than you think, you know, and that there's always a way. There's always a way. And even if it appears to be too difficult to take certain decisions in your life, just know that your truth will serve everyone, even if they feel it doesn't.
Good. There's always a way and there is always the light at the end of the tunnel. And your truth will serve everyone. Your truth will always serve someone. That's it. When we know that our truth will serve someone, then we can step out.
Yes. And you know what, Muchiat? What I find is, like, if it's not in alignment for you, it's not in alignment for the other as well. Like, whether this be, you know, a relationship, whether this is in your workplace where you feel like I'm super unhappy here, trust that if it's not in alignment for you, it's not in alignment for them either. So just as you step into the place where you really belong, you know, the whole system relaxes, you know, maybe not on an ego level, because on an ego level, we oppose change. We don't like it, you know, and if someone leaves you, or if you resign from your job, or if you decide to leave your religious institution, whatever, you know, of course there will be, you know, people that will not be happy on the forefront, but just trust that on a deeper level, there is truth and there is, it's just right. Yeah. So follow your heart, even if it sounds so cheesy, but really follow your heart, because it guides you very well, and connect to your inner guidance, whatever way you do that on a daily basis, because this is really what, especially for us women, is so important to do, so that we are not so externally referenced, but really come into a place where we respond to life from a self-authored place.
That is so great. Thank you so much. Follow your heart. Suck that ego. Follow your heart from a deeper level. When we, you know, go in that deeper level, trying to, you know, from within us, that is a lot better. Thank you so much for all these great things you've shared. I'm really honored to have you. And that is where we're going to be ending the You Soulful Genius podcast for today. Thank you, Catherine, for coming on the show. And thank you, listeners, for listening. So bye for now. Thank you for listening to the You Soulful Genius podcast. Please do share, subscribe, and get in touch with us. To learn more about the You Soulful Genius podcast, visit creativebusinesssuite.com. And do not forget to join us next week for another beautiful episode of the podcast.